Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:03 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is January 30th, and it's a pretty momentous day because the Dow Jones has pulled back by 362 points, and from the peak on Friday to the close in here today, it is now the largest reaction we've seen since April of last year. But when we look at it on that daily chart, it still doesn't look like very much. And it's the largest reaction, but not by more than about 100 points. And when you're looking at a 26,000 point index, 100 points doesn't sound like an awful lot, despite the fact that it's certainly making headlines. Part of the reason that it is pulling back is because there is some uncertainty coming through. There were a number of news items that hit the headlines in here today. One is the fact that JP Morgan, Berkshire Hathaway, and Amazon are looking to get into the healthcare business, and primarily for their own employees to begin with. But what that did was it had a knock-on effect for a number of healthcare related shares, and they pulled back sharply. But as you can see, for example, with Express Scripts, that it has bounced well off that intraday low, and it had been rallying all the way from October in what was a pretty significant advance. It's also worth highlighting that shares like Amazon did not go down today. In fact, they were up, and part of the reason for that is because of that announcement. But there are other factors that are at play here. When we look at, for example, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it has got this really rather wide overextension relative to the trend mean right now. Now, at the peak on Friday, that overextension was approximately 14%. That's the widest overextension that we've seen since 2009, and it does suggest, or it confirms, that this index has accelerated, and acceleration is a trend ending. If we get downside follow-through tomorrow, well, then that will confirm more than just a blip in terms of this acceleration, and it will, I think, probably be more representative of a first shot across the bow in terms of this accelerating trend. Now, something that we have seen on repeated occasions since really since April of last year has been that every time the VIX got up to a new recovery high, it pulled back. And the VIX is up at, it was up above 15 earlier on today, but it did not hold on to the majority of the advance. And the question now is whether risk parity strategies are going to be in here buying. And one of the influences on that are going to be bonds, because this was a rather rare circumstance today where bond yields were firm and the equity market was weak. The risk parity strategy, generally speaking, would be buying one and shorting the other. And the fact that they are both going in the same direction, that you have weakness in both bonds and equities, well, that is supportive of the view that we're getting some risk off coming through in these markets. And that's also translating into the weakness of the dollar, which did not rally by any discernible measure in here today, and it has accelerated lower, particularly against the renminbi. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, well, this has been a pretty exaggerated move over the course of the last 6 weeks, and the dollar is short-term oversold. The dollar is taking the brunt of the selling pressure as a result of the imposition of the Trump tax cuts, which are a pro-cyclical set of strategies that are coming in the latter stages of a bull market and are deficit spending by any other name. So that is having a knock-on effect on the dollar. But nonetheless, the Chinese are not going to be delighted with the idea of the renminbi rallying in such a dynamic manner over much of the last 12 months. They're still going to have to recycle some of their flow into another currency, and with US Treasury yields now at 2.7%, well, that does hold out the prospect that as yields come back up here, that at least somebody is going to see value. Back in 2013, yields bottomed, or the bond market bottomed out, and yields encountered resistance around 3%. And the yield is currently around 2.7%, and it is breaking up and away from this year-long range. So there is certainly the potential for it to get all the way up towards that 3% level. And then quite what happens at that stage is going to be, I think, the not just a $1 million or even a billion-dollar, but potentially even a trillion-dollar question. And when we look at the 10-year plus total return on Treasury futures, well, I think this is one of the most important charts in the world because it trended higher in a rivetingly consistent manner all the way from 1981 through to the peak in right back here in 2016. The pace of the advance has slowed down and it has developing type 3 top formation characteristics. But perhaps the most important point is that the top has not yet been completed, but it is looking increasingly likely that we're in the right-hand shoulder of an evolving hidden shoulders pattern, that this is ranging time and size. We have had some acute bouts of volatility. It's been going sideways for a long time already, and there's certainly a range evolving here. There's been a very noticeable loss of momentum, and this bull market will end. When it does, there's going to be a considerable period of adjustment for stocks because there has been rather a lot of money poured into bonds over the years, and not least because they've been one of the best performing assets. And if you run an asset management company, well, the regulator and the government will tell you that you have to own bonds because they're so reliable. But nothing lasts forever. And the longer something lasts, the greater the sense of complacency that people feel, and the more confidence they have in the sustainability of the situation. But in fact, that hides the asymmetric risks of complacency. So, when we monitor these markets, we have to be alert to the potential that bond yields really are topping, or that the bond market is topping out, and the bond yields really are bottoming. And if we see a sustained move above 3%, well, then that is going to begin to confirm that we are back in a supply-dominated environment, that a lot of the issues that have been brought to bear with the with debt burdens are going to become more pressing, and that is going to have both a market and a I think a political aspect to it. Well, then there is also the fact that there is an awful lot of money invested in bonds, and that equities generally tend to have to represent one of the best hedges against inflation when bonds are doing badly. But it is equities that either have very high growth rates or those that have the ability to raise prices and dividends in a fashion that is quicker than inflationary pressures. So what that would represent is a transition from the kind of market that we've been having recently into a rotationary market for the kinds of things that would do best in an inflationary environment. And that could potentially represent a medium-term pause in stock markets, and we could go sideways for a while. And that we it is not beyond the bounds of possibility that we get medium-term corrections. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to have a crash. Nonetheless, when you see accelerating trends, well, then that is generally an opportunity to take some profits. So, for example, the Hang Seng has accelerated to the peak that we saw this week, and it is currently over 4,000 points overextended relative to the trend mean. So that's approximately 12%. And the potential for it to at least unwind some of that overbought condition has increased. But of course, that is totally dependent on what happens with the Dow Jones. And I think that what happens with with President Trump's inaugural State of the Union address this evening is also likely to have some knock-on effect for what happens in the stock market. When we look at the Nasdaq 100, which is packed with those leading mega cap shares, then it also has an overextension relative to the trend mean, but it has not pulled back by nearly the same extent as the Dow Jones. One of the reasons that the Dow Jones pulled back so I think in a dynamic fashion, and also why it had accelerated higher, is because its largest constituent had accelerated higher, which is Boeing. And Boeing is currently $100 overextended relative to the trend mean. And it has been going sideways since the peak on the 17th. So, in fact, Boeing has stopped going up, and it was the leading share that had led to the advance. Now, it is going to have to re-accelerate on the upside if it is going to continue to have the same beneficial effect on the index as it has been doing for much of the last 4 or 5 months. So, if we are getting a rotation within what is essentially a rather concentrated index in the first place, then what that would represent is a pause for the index, but it doesn't look like the kind of cataclysm that would result in a major top, but rather that we have had a very positive advance and that we are due some consolidation, and the chances are that that is what we are going to get. That doesn't mean that we have to be complacent to some of the other evolving risks that are shaping up out there, but I think it is also really worth highlighting that when you look at, for example, the high yield spreads. Well, they are still very tight, and in fact, they are almost as tight as they have been at any point in the last 3 or 4 years. When we look at the yield curve spread, well, it continues to pause here. That the fact that the long end of the curve at the 10-year, the yields have been rising so quickly, it in fact has contributed to the yield curve beginning to expand once more. And it's usually when the yield curve gets negative. That we begin to think about it representing a lead indicator for recessions for anything out to 6 to 18 months, and the fact that it is still positive and in fact at present expanding, well, that suggests that we're not going to have a recession in the very near future. So what I believe is the most likely outcome is that we're due some pause of consolidation, and there is the potential that we may have seen the low in here. That if volatility comes down sharply tomorrow, and if the Dow Jones bounces, well, then that is going to reignite buy the dip strategies. I think it is also quite interesting that when you look at, for example, some of these short volatility investments, that so far this is an equal size reaction. And that was the last significant pullback we saw on the ETF was back in August, but it is off its low in here today, and it has unwound more than half of its overextension relative to the trend mean. So I think that what happens in here tomorrow is going to be rather pivotal in terms of the consistency of this advance, because we have had a slightly larger reaction, but it isn't in nearly the same kind of dynamic fashion that other peaks have been marked with. And we also look at some of the lead indicators that we have out there, and they are not signaling that there's a recession anytime soon. So what we could be in for is just a pause, and that could be somewhat larger than we've seen in the context of the last year. That would be an inconsistency. So then we would have to be even more vigilant as to whether it can hold that range and break up out of it, or whether these markets are going to spend a longer time going sideways. I think one of the most important lessons to learn is that I think everybody who was in the market in 2008 and 2009 has had a traumatic experience, and that we have all learned lessons about becoming too complacent. But at the same time, we have to be at least we have to pay some attention to when is the best time to employ those lessons. And when we do not have evidence from the kinds of lead indicators that are generally have an historical precedent of give of warning us of recessions, then that would suggest that this is not the big top, but rather that we are simply due a pause, a consolidation within the context of what is still a powerful bull market. Then you also have the fact that no two tops are the same, and we're not whatever causes the next the preamble to the next recession is not going to be what caused the last one. And what's happening in the bond markets is important. It is really worth monitoring, but it is not happening in terms of hours, but rather that this is a trend that is likely to play out over months. And the fact that you have technology shares which have been leaders throughout, and that are still in reasonably consistent advances, And that, well, then that is something that is worth paying attention to as well. So, when, for example, we look at Amazon, or I think I put that up already, so we should look maybe at Facebook, that it closed well off its low in here today, and in fact was up on the day, that it still has this clear progression of higher reaction lows, that there has been, I think, rather distinct absence of volatility, that it has been just holding this progression of higher reaction lows for years now. And as long as it is doing that, then I don't think that people are going to be particularly worried about these technology shares. That Google is right up here around $1,200, and it tends to pause around these psychological levels, these big round numbers. So it wouldn't be at all surprising to see Google consolidate by $100 at this level. In fact, if this trend is going to be remain consistent, that's what we would expect, that it come back down to about $1,100 and go sideways for 3 or 4 months and then break upwards. If it can do that, then this is still a very consistent advance, and a consistent advance is a trend in motion. So therefore, the next breakout would take it up towards $1,400. If that is, of course, it pauses. If it accelerates higher from here, and it could, well, then that would be a speeding up in the pace of the advance, and obviously, then it would need progressively more investors to come in and support the trend to maintain that kind of momentum. So again, I think we are at a rather important point here in terms of the consistency of these trends, and I think the next 28 to 48 hours will give us a lot more information about what to expect. In the meantime, I've opened a short in the Hang Seng because I think that it is due a pause in consolidation, and that the risk of a pullback outweighs the risk that it is going to surge back onto new high ground. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.